When you're going through a season of financial stress, the temptation is enormous to toss out your integrity and to cheat in order to make ends meet. But you always lose in the long run when you lose your integrity, because that's what you're taking to heaven, your character, not your money.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Growing in the Seasons of Life. You know, just like a growing season for plants, you have to go through various seasons in order to mature. In this message series, Pastor Rick shows you how to make the most out of the seasons of life, no matter which one you're in. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a resource that's perfect for anyone feeling spiritually run down. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called The Season of Financial Stress.
Let me ask you a very personal question. Can God trust you with wealth? Can God trust you with wealth? I'm not really sure why. Well, yes, I do know why. But God has chosen the handling of money to be the acid test in this life of your faith and your character. And in Scripture, it says that God watches how you handle money, how you save it, spend it, share it, give it, all these things, as an acid test of your character and your faith. Why? Because we spend our entire lives trying to get it, save it, make it, you know, use it. All it envelops our life so much. So God has chosen money as an acid test of your faith. And if you don't learn contentment, you're never going to be happy. A while back in Money Magazine, they did an article on the affluence of Orange County. And they reported in this article that the median income in Orange County is 80% higher than the rest of America. 80% higher. But when they surveyed Orange County residents, every income strata said the same thing: we need more than we have. And they asked them, how much more do you need? And the answer was average of 20 to 40% more. If we could have 20 to 40% more income, then we'd be happy. Now, when it comes to wealth, listen to the voices of people who've been at the top. John D. Rockefeller, one of the wealthiest men in American history. I have made many, many, many millions, but they brought me no happiness. I would barter it all away for the days when I sat on a stool in Cleveland and counted myself rich on $3 a day. John Vanderbilt, listen to this. The care of $200 million is a burden too great for any brain or back to bear. It is enough to kill anyone. There is no pleasure in it. Andrew Carnegie once said, millionaires seldom smile, unless they know the Lord. Howard Hughes was once asked, how much more does it take to make a man happy? He said, just a little bit more. That's a little bit more. I don't know if you saw today's Register on page 16, Sunday edition. They did a study of lottery winners, and they discovered that the average amount of happiness that it brings to the lottery winner lasts, listen, 3 months. 3 months. Because unless you learn contentment, you'll always want more, no matter how much you've made. Number three, if God is going to meet all my needs the way He guarantees, He says, I will meet them if I ask for His help, if I learn to be content, and number three, if I practice giving in faith. If I practice giving in faith. Now, this is the law of the harvest. This is a long passage of Scripture here, but it has a lot of truth into it, so I want you to read it with me. Notice, it says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He's talking like about planting seed. And whoever sows generously will also reap what? Generously. Now, he says, each one of you should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, that means under pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, let me stop here before we go on. If you ever feel pressured to give, don't. If somebody ever comes to your door and pressures you to give, or you watch a TV show and feel guilt and pressured to give, or you hear a preacher pressuring you to give, don't, because you don't get any credit for that kind of gift. It says God loves a cheerful giver. And God is looking not at the amount you give, but at the attitude. And if you're giving it out of pressure or guilt, it doesn't count. So the next time somebody pressures you to give some money somewhere, you just say, I don't have to give because my pastor said I don't have to. And I'm telling you, you don't have to because God says you don't have to, because you don't get any credit if you give it with the wrong attitude anyway. Get it? Good. Now, it says God loves a cheerful giver, but it says it's the way you sow. Now, you know this principle of sowing and reaping. And the principle of sowing and reaping applies to every area of life, not just finances. That whatever you sow in life, you're going to reap. Whatever you deposit is going to be returned to you. If you sow criticism in life, you are going to reap criticism from other people. Just count on it. If you, on the other hand, sow kindness in life, you're kind to people, count on it. You're going to reap kindness in your life. It's a law of the harvest.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and our series called Growing in the Seasons of Life. The second half is coming right up, so please stay with us.
It's no secret that here in our nation and all around the world, the spiritual and moral foundation is deteriorating, leaving many people without hope. We need a dramatic awakening to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope to disheartened and hurting people across our country and around the globe. How can you help? By becoming a partner in hope. Your regular monthly support will help us continue broadcasting the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation and all around the world, on air and online. And to say thanks, when you give to this broadcast ministry, Rick wants to send you a signed copy of Re-Energize Your Life, a first-of-its-kind guide created from Pastor Rick's most practical teaching. This high-quality, vegan leather-bound, four-color journal experience book is a user-friendly, interactive powerhouse. Its eye-pleasing pages are packed with full-color devotionals, verses, and Bible teachings that will dramatically impact your spiritual life forever. If you feel led to become a partner in hope, or you'd like to send a one-time gift, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004 or by visiting PastorRick.com. When you give a gift, Rick has asked us to send you this amazing resource. So contact us right now to get yours at 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. There are only 3 days left to get in on this opportunity, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Rick.
If you sow criticism in life, you are going to reap criticism from other people. Just count on it. If you, on the other hand, sow kindness in life, you're kind to people, count on it. You're going to reap kindness in your life. It's a law of the harvest. If I plant apple seeds, I don't get pears, I get apples. If I plant pear seeds, I don't get oranges, I get pears. Whatever I sow, I'm going to reap in life. If I sow generously financially, I will reap generously financially. If I sow energy, I will reap energy. That's the whole principle behind when you go to Family Fitness and you work out and you expend energy, the result of that is the next day you actually have more energy because you worked out. So whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Now, when a farmer looks out at his barren field and he knows, if I don't get any crops, I'm going bankrupt, he doesn't start griping about it and go, oh, my barren field. He just goes out and starts sowing, planting some seed. And if he only has a little bit of seed, he has a choice. I can either eat this seed, what I've got, hold on to it, hoard it, hold on to it and eat it, or I can give it away. If he holds on to it, that's all he's got. But if he gives it away, in the economy of this world, God has set it up that when you give it away, God multiplies it back to you. And the amazing thing is this. You don't just sow what you reap what you sow. You always reap more than you sow. For instance, if you are critical of somebody, you're going to get more criticism back than you gave out. If you go sue somebody, guess what they're more likely to do? Countersuit at a bigger price. This is the law of life. For instance, in the physical world, if you plant 2 bushels of wheat, are you going to get back 2 bushels of wheat? No. You plant 2 bushels, you will get back, you could expect an average of 67 bushels back. If you plant 3 bushels of oats, you will harvest, on average, 79 bushels of oats back. This is amazing. If you plant just 7.5 pounds of corn, 7.5 pounds of corn, you will reap 120 bushels of corn back. Now, those of you who are home gardeners understand this. I had to learn this the hard way. One day I said, I want some tomatoes. So I went out and I thought, well, I like 18 tomatoes. So I bought 18 tomato plants. And I planted them. Good night. I had no idea how productive those things were. I was begging people to take my tomatoes. I was throwing them at neighbors. I mean, I was just take them, please, take them. I had more tomatoes than I can imagine. You always reap more than you sow. Now, here's the principle of the harvest. And God set it up this way because he wants you to become like him. Remember, God is a giver. God so loved the world that he gave. And the only way you're ever going to become like Jesus is to learn to be generous. When you're stingy, you're like the devil. When you're generous, you're like Jesus Christ and God. God is a giver. Everything you have in your life, you have because of a gift from God. You would have nothing otherwise. Now, here's the principle. When I hold on tightly to what I've got and I hoard it, that's all I got. But when I give it away, God multiplies it. Now, here's the principle. Write this down. Here's the law. Whenever I have a need, I plant a seed. Whenever I have a need, I plant a seed. Now, you say, Rick, this sounds illogical, that to give away when I have a need will end up in me getting more back. That just sounds illogical. Right, it does sound illogical. But that's called faith. You say, well, Rick, it doesn't make sense. Well, of course it doesn't make sense. In Isaiah, God says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. In fact, if you ever want to know what God wants to do in a situation, you can usually, most of the time, figure out what you would naturally do and then take the exact opposite. Because God says, my ways are not your ways. God says the way you get is by giving, not by holding on. Now, I know some of you have thought about this, and you say, well, okay. What we normally say is, when all my needs are met, then I'll start giving. God says, oh, no, you missed the point. Time out. You give in advance. You start giving, and then I'll meet all your needs. See, there were people who misunderstood this in the Time to Build campaign a year and a half ago. There were people who said, you know, here's what we'll do. We'll make a commitment to Time to Build. And then, when God brings in the extra money to pay for it, we'll give it. No. I didn't say that, and neither did God. The point is, God says, you give what you've got sacrificially now that you would use for something else, and I will replace it and multiply it. God multiplies what you've already given, not what you promised to give. God isn't impressed with what I say I'm going to do. God is impressed with what I do. That's the faith. And so God is saying, well, you know, I made this commitment. The money never came in, so I haven't given it. Well, that's not the way it works. God says you give it, often at sacrifice to yourself at this moment. And then he says, I will multiply it and use it in a great way. Now notice what it says here. Circle all the alls in this verse. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I think God's trying to get the message across here. He's saying, what does this leave left to worry about? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You see, when you worry, you're missing the point here. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Read this verse aloud with me. Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income, and he will fill your barns. The rest of it says to overflow. Now, this is the principle of tithing. We've talked about this many times, so I don't have to go into it today. But tithing is the principle taught all through Scripture that the first 10% of all that I make goes back to God. It is an act of worship. If I make $10, then the first dollar I give back to God. Not the last, but the first dollar. If I make $100, the first $10 goes back to God. If I make $1,000, the first $100 go back to God. Tithing means the first 10% goes back to God. Now, why did he say 10%? I don't know. Beats me. He could have said 50%. He could have said, give me half of everything you earn because it all comes from me in the first place. He could have said 90%. He could have said, I want you to tithe 90% and live on 10. But he said, give the first 10% back. Why? Does God need my money? Is God poor? You got to be kidding. God doesn't need your money. What he wants is what it represents. You, your heart. And he says, I want you to put me first place in your life by making me first in your time and first in your money. I don't care how much you claim Jesus is first in your life. If you're not tithing, he's not first in your life. He's just not. Because where you put your time and your money determines what's first in your life. And that's what God is saying. When Kay and I got married, we made a decision the very first, well, even before we got married, that no matter if anybody else got paid, God would get paid first. And even in the leanest days, I mean, even when we started Saddleback and there was no salary here, and we were just praying in our rent for where we were renting a condo, God got paid first. We have gone through many tough times, but we've also gone through many times that have proven God says, I will meet your needs if you ask for help, you commit to learning contentment, and you practice giving in faith. Now, I know some of you are saying, but Rick, you don't understand. I can't afford to tithe. And I want to say to you, you can't afford not to. You can't whatever you want God to bless, you have to put him first in. If you want God to bless your family, then you put him first in your family. If you want God to bless a relationship, he needs to be first in that relationship. If you want God to bless your finances, he needs to be first in your finances. A while back, if I called his name, you'd know who he was. One of the most well-known and successful executives in Orange County sat in my office. And he said, Rick, you need to tell your businessmen that the best time to start tithing is when they're in debt. When they're in debt, because you want God's help to get out of debt. He said, God, I don't know where it's going to come from, but you're going first in my life. And when you do that, God does miracles. Number four. The fourth condition, God says, I promise, I guarantee, I will meet all your financial needs. You'll never have to worry again if, number four, if I maintain my integrity. If I maintain my integrity. You see, God does not bless dishonesty. Proverbs 16:11, notice this verse. The Lord demands fairness in every business deal. Circle that word fairness. Now, that includes wages, that includes salaries, that includes taxes. If you want God's blessing on your finances, you must be honest about them. Proverbs 19, verse 1 says, better to be poor and honest than rich and dishonest. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Now, why is this an important principle? I'll tell you why. Because, and you know this as well as I do, that when you're going through a season of financial stress, the temptation is enormous to toss out your integrity and to cheat in order to make ends meet, to be dishonest, to throw out your ethics. It may mean you shade the truth on a sale. It may mean that you exaggerate the value of something or under-exaggerate the value of something. It may mean you claim a false deduction on your taxes. But you always lose in the long run when you lose your integrity, because that's what you're taking to heaven, your character, not your money. You always lose when you give up your integrity. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. Notice that, no trouble. What's he saying here? He's saying that profit that's made dishonestly brings trouble with it. Why? Because whatever you reap, you're eventually going to sow. And if you rip off people, other people are going to rip you off. And if you cheat even the government, you're going to get cheated in life. Because what you sow, you will reap. Now, this decision to say, I'm going to be honest in my finances, is not something you just make once for all, where you go, well, okay, it's Sunday, it's May 19th, 1996, from now on I'm going to have integrity in all my finances. No, it's going to be a daily decision, because you're going to be tempted with decisions of, am I going to tell the truth or am I not? Am I going to be honest or am I not? And sometimes honesty costs. Have you learned that? Sometimes it costs to tell the truth on a form. But God says, if you do that, I guarantee you, you won't have to worry about financial needs. You see, some of you have said, you know, Rick, I tried tithing and I still have all my financial needs. Well, it's not just one thing. There are five things here. You can't be tithing and cheating on something. You can't be tithing and not learning to be content or asking God for help. You must do all five. If I ask for his help, if I learn to be content, if I practice giving in faith, if I maintain my integrity, finally, number five, if I trust him with my life.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and our series called Growing in the Seasons of Life. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or if you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. It's no secret that in our nation and around the world, the spiritual and moral foundation is deteriorating, leaving many people without hope. We need a dramatic awakening to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope to disheartened and hurting people across the country and around the globe. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
One of the reasons that I started Daily Hope is to take the message of hope, not just across our country, but all around the world, to people who need a shot of encouragement, who need the message and word of hope in a discouraging day. And that message can only be found in Jesus. Would you help me with this? I really need your help. I can't do it by myself. And I'd like to ask you to become my partner in the Daily Hope ministry. If you'll make a monthly investment as a partner in hope, you can help me broadcast these life-transforming messages from God's Word, not just here in America, but in podcasts and online and literally all around the world. And I want to say thanks for your support. And as your first gift of being a partner in hope, I want to send you a signed copy. I'll sign this copy of my new Bible study tool called Re-energize Your Life. I know it'll help you grow. It's an important resource. I'm very proud of it. I'm excited to offer it to you. And we want to offer it to you as you become a partner in hope together with us. God bless you. Let me hear from you.
If you feel led to become a partner in hope, or you'd simply like to make a one-time gift, please call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. Either way, Rick has asked us to send you this high-quality vegan leather-bound four-color journal experience book. Its eye-pleasing pages are packed with full-color devotionals, as well as verses and Bible teachings that will dramatically impact your spiritual life forever. So contact us right now to get yours at 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. There are only 3 days left to get in on this opportunity, so don't wait. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.